The McElroy brothers are not experts, and their advice should never be followed. Travis insists he's a sexpert, but if there's a degree on his wall, I haven't seen it. Also, this show isn't for kids, which I mention only so the babies out there will know how cool they are for listening. What's up, you cool baby?
It's familiar, but not too familiar, but not too not familiar. It's a new craze. Hey, good girls, do you wanna just say, hey, I wanna? Just say, hey, I wanna.
Hello, everybody. Welcome, my brother, me, an advice show for the modern era. I'm your oldest brother, Justin McElroy.
I'm your middlest brother, Travis McElroy.
Bienvenidos. I'm your littlest brother, baby brother, Griffin McElroy.
Limps.
Limpos.
Here's looking at you, Limpos.
It's the talented Mr. Olympus.
Give me those five rings. I'm going to put them all on my fingers and show off my beautiful rings to my friends, Olympos.
Just yes, like Sonic the Hedgehog, we're after them rings.
That's right. Americans and Chinese and other people are all on the hunt for those five rings.
All of them. Americans, Americans, Chinese, France,
everybody.
And the other ones.
Five rings of various colors have been hidden throughout Rio de Janeiro, and these proud Olympians must work together to follow the clues to find all the five rings.
One of them you only find through geocaching. One of them you got to solve the mummy's tomb, I think.
Just looking at the lineup of people, looks like both Big Australia and Little Australia made it out to this one. Welcome to the Limpos, boys.
I'm so excited to be here. I'm so happy.
Now, this is why we sports.
This is it.
This year, there is a team, and I thought that this was very profound. There is a team comprised entirely of people who thought Batman versus Superman was, you know, not too bad.
Mm-hmm.
That's strange that they have like a flag and everything. They're in the UN and they're our strongest NATO ally.
Yep.
Do want to say just 18 hours after this year's Limpos began, I am very proud to announce that West Virginia, a West Virginian, won the state's first gold for this.
Just any West Virginian.
Not just any West Virginian and not just any sport. What sport did West Virginia roll up and crush in? You guessed it. Shooting things.
Yay.
We took the golden gun. And her name is Virginia Thrasher, which is so fucking choice and money and good.
Yeah. She actually goes by Jenny Thrasher. How fucking cool is that?
Thank you to Jenny Thrasher for the inspiration. And this episode's dedicated to you. And it inspired me watching Jenny Thrasher get up there and just gun so tight. I decided I'm going to take part in the 2020 Olympos.
Oh man, me too, Griffin. I've actually been training already.
What are you training in?
I'm training in swimming, mostly the butterfly.
Okay.
I've been training with Michael Fred Phelps, who is Michael Phelps' dad, and who unfortunately shares a name with Fred Phelps.
Yeah, that's too bad. So you swim, and he's like, you could have done that a little bit faster. Also, I don't think that bisexual people should be able to vote.
Yeah.
Like, Fred Phelps, yeah. Why?
If you swim better, God will kill people because he's ashamed of you. Oh, okay.
I decided that I think I'm going to do leg wrestling.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm really excited to get there. No one's quite sure where the 2020 Olympics are going to be. A lot of people said, I say that, and I'm looking at our producer now, and the producer's letting me know just sort of emphatically that a whole sort of panel got together and decided it would be in Tokyo. And
no,
I'm just,
no, no.
I'm,
they say
I'm still
that,
not sure.
They
yeah.
say that, but at the last minute, they're going to send out like Wonka-esque tickets to let you know where to go because they just don't want it swamped by like spectators and visitors. They just want to keep it pure for the sport.
Now, it is going to be in Tokyo, apparently. They're just really emphatic. It's in Tokyo. And I would love to show everybody how I leg wrestle in the Japanese style.
I'm looking forward to that.
Yeah, I thought you were going to demonstrate it here on the call somehow.
I just did. Sure. We're not even close to each other, but my leg is in the air right now, and I'm flailing it. Justin, what sport?
No odd job, Goldeneye.
Oh!
I've been pushing for a long time, and finally we got it in. They've had Goldeneye for a long time, but I think me and a lot of the other e-athletes, or e-athletes, as we prefer,
e-athletes!
Prefer, like, we thought it was unfair that whatever country got the first controller, just, like, quickest on the draw, got to be our job, and we just didn't think odd jobs should be in. So we protested, and eventually we got, now the Olympics have no odd job GoldenEye, odd job GoldenEye, and all slappers GoldenEye.
Oh, all slappers only. Is it all licensed to kill?
Yeah, that's a good question.
Yeah, obviously. They don't want these matches to drone on for hours on end. But I'm really happy to represent my country and not choose odd job. You know, I have a secret strategy, though, that I've been working on. I wanted to share with you guys.
Tell
me
now.
Come in real close, because I don't want the Ruskies to hear.
Uh-huh.
I'm going to choose odd job.
Well, now, hold on.
I've just changed my mind. Leg wrestling is out the window, because it seems like it would be very difficult and very taxing. And I'm looking at the list now, and there's a lot of exciting new opportunities. And I think I'm going to go with beach curling.
Ooh, okay.
Oh, that's fun.
It's a new curling. It takes place on the beach, and the course is much shorter.
I have actually switched mine now, too. I'm going to switch my major, and I'm going to start studying for slowest runner, and it's the last person across the finish line loses. These races can take months.
They take a while, yeah.
It's a long time.
The last person, like, missed their family, really, because that's how most of the people are just like, I want to go, I would love to go home.
I'm actually going to be doing metal detecting this year. I've been training it up again. Yeah, it's nice. The really nice thing about it is you can walk into anybody else's event just midway through and just do your biz. You know what I mean? You could stop the beach volleyball midway through and just do the thing.
I'm actually going to switch mine too.
Oh, okay. Travis is just going to switch his real quick.
I'm going to switch mine to mystery barbecuing.
Oh. Interesting. Mm-hmm.
What does that entail?
Well, you get the meat, but you don't know what the meat is ahead of time or even during sometimes, and you just serve it to the people, and you have to prepare, usually blindfolded, and you're just given a strange meat that you have to cook and prepare.
Hold on 1 second. I got to grab my phone. Beep, boop, boop, beep, boop, boop, boop. Hey, I need to cancel my application for beach curling. This is Griffin McElroy. Yeah, change that for me. Devil sticks, 100 meter. Devil sticks, 100 meter. Okay, bye. I've changed mine again.
I'm going to have to change mine one more time.
Travis is just changing his real quick.
I'm going to have to do head-to-head yo-yoing.
Okay. A lot of tangled up strings in that one.
And it can get bloody in there. A lot of black eyes, a lot of walked dogs.
Yeah.
It can get very violent in there.
Sending an email real quick. Cancel devil sticks order application and change to... Fancing? Send.
That's fencing with fans?
With dance. You were close, but it was sort of a dance fencing. It's just sort of a...
Yeah.
Fancing? No, actually, I'm sorry. Changing that. Instead, I'd like to do fancing? And that's just where you get as fancy as you can get, and you just sort of you have a contest with it.
Okay, my pager's going
looking forward. Looking forward to taking the platinum home on that one. It's even better than gold. Nobody's ever gotten it before, but I will.
My pager's going off. Hold on 1 second. Let me check it. Okay, it's a message to call phone number. Let me call. Beep, boop, 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 beep. Okay, that was me from the future. I've been informed that I have changed my category in the future to freestyle bad boy.
Nice. Yeah,
leather jacket, pomade, sunglasses, anything goes in freestyle bad boy.
All right.
Yeah, it's an open field this year because I'm the only one participating, and I think I could have a good shot at least bronze.
Oh, I'm going to send an email real quick, just if I could. Let me just switch it. I'm just going to switch to synchronized vests.
Okay.
And just see. Yeah, oh, there was an opening. I was able to get into the American team. This is great.
Oh, shit. Hey, guys, hold on 1 second. Somebody's just thrown a rock through my window, and it's, it's me, and it's an application from myself. I'm changing categories to, let me read here. Sorry, the note's really crumpled up. It's wrapped around a rock. It just says Richard Gere. So I'm going to, I guess I'm changing mine to Richard Gere.
Oh, sorry, I just got a notification. They've actually changed synchronized vesting to world's nicest rap battler now. So we'll see how that goes.
Like no cussing or
and a lot of compliments. It's mostly just flattery, but in rhyming couplets.
Yeah, okay, I just got a DM from Olympics, and they say that they would prefer that I change my category this year to no scope surgery, real patients only, and it says XXX on it. So I'm not sure that's supposed to be kind of an edgy thing, but I am going to be doing surgery, untrained surgery, because I'm you have to be an amateur, surgery on real patients without a scope, no scope.
Oh. An owl just landed in my window. It's letting me know that I've been signed up for World's Best Grandpa. I don't know. Crazy. I don't even know what I do in that one.
I just got a notification that I have received the gold medal for owl impersonation for tricking Travis.
What? He was an owl the whole time.
Sorry, guys. They just threw another rock through the old window. It was already broken. I don't even know how they did that. But I just got a new category here that apparently I've just been somebody else signed me up for it. And it just says Olympics. Super, super duper weird.
I just got a text message that we have all won the gold medal for Olympics category choosing. And the anti-bronze for improv comedy. We've actually done
it's
so
a sort
good
of, it's a
one.
Sort of acid that you apply to bronze, and it just sort of dissolves it.
Yeah, just all metals. One last fact that I wanted to share with everybody before we move on. West Virginia's shooting domination. There are five people competing in the Olympics this year that are West Virginia University graduates. David Johnson is the manager of the team, WVU. Jenny Thrasher, here's the best. Nico Campriani and Petra Zublossing, both from Italy. Italy's like, hold the phone. I hear there's a state where people are shooting so right. We gotta get them.
It's what we've always raised you to be, little one.
Ziva Dvorak from Slovenia has been called home to shoot shit for her country.
We got this. Should we do advice?
Yeah, good. Best of luck, actually, to all of our athletes who are from West Virginia and are competing on USA teams only. USA.
Jenny Thrasher, I don't know if you're like, if you got plans now, if you're like on your way home or whatever, but if you want to dip into another event and just like check shit out, I ain't mad at you.
Yep.
Go
just
for it.
Keep I bet winning. You, just keep wait till they stop you.
And if you want to be on our podcast,
basketball, like, judo,
let us know. You can be on our podcast, Jenny. That would be sweet.
That would be dope.
So let's get into the advice. I'm ready if you're ready.
Yes.
Let's do it.
My friend's dog is extremely unsettling and disturbs me greatly every time I visit. He has a very humanesque eyes. You can see the whites that don't look like a dog's at all and don't reflect in the light. When I go to the bathroom at night, he's just sitting there waiting for me in the hallway. And he will sit on the couch like a man and watch the TV. He was found in the precious...
The precious owner.
The precious owner. No, he was found in the previous owner, told my friend to keep him, thus passing on the curse. To top it all off, he has a human man name. Everyone loves my friend, tells him his dog's a human man in a dog's body. But he says he's, quote, trying his best. Please help. So that's from Spooky Snacks in South Philly. P.S. It sounds like I embellished this or even made it up for the goof, but please understand I'm living in constant fear. Okay, point of order. You can't tell us that the dog has a human name and not give
and
us
not
the dog's
it.
Name. Please. What's the dog's name?
Bert? Let's go with Bert.
Bert Philly? Is a dog's name, though, that a human used once and thought it was funny. Jason?
How about Ethan?
Okay.
Ethan is excellent.
Yeah, no dog has ever been named Ethan.
Or Aiden? Can you imagine a dog named... Come here, Aiden.
Roberto Benigni.
Ethan is good. So, yeah, there's a lot of elements at play here, but I think I pieced all the elements together in a beautiful puzzle. And have you seen the trailers for this movie, 9 Lives?
Yes.
With Jennifer Garner and Kevin Spacey as a cat, and I think that somebody casts like a wizardly spell on him to turn him into a cat. And I think the wizard was, it's the guy with the voice. That,
it's Walken. It's Christopher
it's
Walken.
Walken. It's Christopher Walken, who I guess only appears in movies to teach dads lessons with magic.
Click. Like, I refuse to believe this is not a spiritual successor to Click. Like, it has to be, right?
It's called Meow. So in Meow, Kevin Spacey plays a cat, and I think he just loved it so much. And after they finished shooting, they're like, "Thanks, Kevin. This movie's gonna suck ass, and we're gonna make so much of that dumb kid money." And he's like, "I know, I love it. Hey, let me ask you a question, Claire. Is there a real magic man that can turn me into some sort of bedeviled animal?" And they said, "Geez, Kevin, with that accent constantly, I think we can hook you up with somebody." Bing, bang, boom. Long story short, we got a dog Kevin Spacey on our hands.
True story, though. What is wrong with you, Kevin?
Yeah, Kev.
Kevin, do you have a second? You went from House of Cards to Elvis and Nixon to 9 Lives. You're spinning out of control.
You are an American beauty.
Your latest film that is currently in post-production and due out 2017, I know nothing about it, but it's literally called Baby Driver. Now,
does the man who made K-Pax have something on you that's blackmailing you into these movies?
Who is making you do this, Kevin?
Maybe K-Pax was a true story. He's got a fucking alien brain up there and capable of making good decisions.
It can't be the money, right?
I'm just worried that maybe we're dealing with a Dave situation where Kevin Spacey is laying like in a sickbed somewhere and they hired an actor who looked like Kevin Spacey to play Kevin Spacey.
Oh, I thought you meant Meet Dave, and you were talking about the similar decline that Eddie Murphy did when he threw himself down a well that had a sign in front of it that said the Pluto Nash hole.
No, not his Nash hole. I mean, like, the movie Dave, where maybe Kevin Klein is pretending to be Kevin Spacey.
That's fun. That's just good fun.
You're Kevin Spacey, okay?
Yes. Yeah. Okay, wait, give me a minute. Okay. All right, I'm there.
Slides across a piece of paper from your agent to you. Your agent slides a piece of paper to you. It reads, a stuffy businessman finds himself trapped inside the body of his family's cat. That's the log line.
Where does the cat go? Does the cat control Kevin Spacey?
What on earth did they tell Kevin Spacey to get him to agree to appear in this motion picture?
Yeah.
And we will give you a lot of money.
Hey, hey, Kevin, it's got, hey, you know Arrow? His brother's in it. What?
I remember the first time I saw the trailer for Nine Lives starring Kevin Spacey. I saw how bad it looked, and I actually reached my hand into the screen, like in Persona, and I was able to get like my whole torso and head inside of the trailer, and I grabbed Jennifer Garner's hands, and she was like, pull me out, you can save me. And I tried, but my hands were too slippery and greasy, and I let her go, and she fell back into the movie. Aww. But I almost got her out.
The first time I saw the preview for Nine Lives, I said out loud to Teresa, I look forward to hearing the Flophouse episode about that movie.
They already did it. It was called A Talking Cat. Anyway.
You said that wrong, Griffin.
A Talking Cat?
Thank you.
How about we just spent 7 minutes just kind of doing fun riffs on Nine Lives. And I think just be cool. It's a dog, and feed it some snacks and be
and maybe
good buds
don't
with
do
it.
Anything too embarrassing around it so that when it turns back into a humor, it's not like, oh, I'm so happy to be human. Also, Derek like gets his balls out everywhere.
Yeah. Also, you can set Kevin Spacey free. I haven't seen Nine Lives, but it definitely ends with them. If they can say their dad's name at the cat, then they transform back. So you just got to figure out kind of what actor that makes bad choices is the dog. Mm-hmm. And just yell a bunch of names at him. I mean, start with Kevin Spacey, for God's sakes. Do you guys want a Yahoo answer from the service?
No, I just feel like I don't know if we helped them or not.
Oh, cool. Then we're on par. This one was sent in by Joel Azose. Thank you, Joel. It's by Yahoo Answers user Anonymous. Column Chargo.
Yep.
Chargo asks, what's a cool catchphrase to say before you throw up? I've always wanted to say something cool before I vomit from drinking too much. Any suggestions?
Before, not after?
Yeah, no, it's got to be... Well, I think let's free ourselves up. Let's give ourselves a little bit more comedy rope and say it could be either one. But I think it's funnier if you say it before to almost announce it.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, because everybody says something embarrassed when they throw up. Everybody has a post-throw up catchphrase already.
What if you, like, just before you throw up, you yell, like, I have something to add, or I'd like to interject something, and then you throw up.
That could be fun.
It's especially good if you're getting really drunk at, like, an art exhibit or some kind of, like, poetry jam, somewhere where people are having very, like, elitist conversations, and you can walk up and be like, that's a very interesting point about Chaucer. I have something to add.
I think
that's a very interesting point about Chaucer. I have something to add. It's a really good catchphrase.
Yeah, it may be a little bit wordy. You're going to rush through it. Like, you know it's coming. Like, oh, that's very funny. I have something about Chaucer.
Definitely the longer buildup you could have before, the better. I think you should kind of give it like a Bard-esque opening, sort of like Excuse me, if I could ask everyone to attend the tale. Noblemen, noble ladies, gather around and I shall delight your blah.
See, that's ting, the thing.
Ting, 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 ting. I'm sorry, if I could have everyone's attention, you're probably wondering why I've called you all here today.
You have no idea how long it's going to take. That's the thing about Yardson, is you never know how long it's going to take, right? So the inverse, it could also be like, I also have something interesting to add about Chaucer. They're like, what are you doing? Shush. I think it's very embarrassing to do it. It's so embarrassing. Yeah. It's basically like a bathroom thing. And I would never do that in front of a person. So I think the best thing to do is kind of couch it and just be like, what I'm about to do is going to be a prank. And so people are like, what the fuck? And you'd be like, prank to you.
So, do you think after you puke, you can look everybody dead in the eye and just be like, just kidding?
Oh, that just before you vomit, you scream, check out these special effects.
Yeah, and then you do it. And then while you're crying, because I cry every single time I throw up, I just look up everybody and I go, that was fake.
Oh,
that can be fun.
What if your catchphrase is something like, don't eat the dip, and then you threw up?
Yeah, that was, but what if you made the dip?
Oh, no. Well, oh, you make the dip every time, and then you don't eat the dip. Because then that also plans into everyone's minds who have had the dip. Like, oh, no. And so they all feel like they're, like, living on a borrowed time. But then when they don't vomit, they're so relieved that they find a new lease on life.
Maybe you could go with something like, I was really close to my grandpa. I used to spend a lot of summers in his cabin. And I'll never forget his final words to me. They were, because if you did it enough times, people would eventually be like, I wonder if that's, you guys think this would happen? That might have happened. He's told that story a lot.
What if we're being a little, not, these are all very good, but none of them are really catchphrases.
Mm-hmm. That's true.
A catchphrase is essentially, it establishes a Pavlovian response. We have to have something so concise and mimetic that when you say it, people know what's going to happen next. So maybe just something like in a baby voice, just like, uh-oh. And if you say it just like that at a party, people are like, oh, damn, where's Jerry? Get him outside.
What about something a little bit more t-shirt, like, bada bing, bada boom, give me some room. Right.
Okay. You cannot yarts in the middle of, because the word itself sounds like a yarts. That could you be like, bada bing, bada boop.
What if you just yell, Omar coming?
Omar coming could be fun, but it's taken and used.
Wow. Not like this.
80s kids will love this one. Maybe right before you puke, you say, first find the orange flag, it's a free Casio keyboard, and then just puke everywhere. Kind of give them, or maybe just if you want to get simpler, just physical challenge, then puke everywhere.
Yeah, because it is a physical challenge.
It is a physical challenge. This hurts me more than it hurts you.
What if you just yelled, like, hold my arms back? Because it's confusing, because most of the time you would say hair, and it would leave people wondering what you usually do with your arms when you vomit.
Sometimes my arms and back. That would be a good one. That puke you like is going to come back into style. They just puke on everybody.
And then after you puke, you just look at them and go, damn fine. And that's fun.
That's fun. Kind of cultural.
That's the thing that people don't do. The after, nobody ever, I don't think people celebrate the natural human bodily function of vomiting enough.
Yeah.
And I think that you could just like turn around and be like, what was that? Am I right? Like, wait. Or just turn around like 10 out of 10.
Could you lean into what was that as though it's never happened to you before? Like, you really didn't know that that was one of the holes where that thing happened. What could that have been?
Oh, that's good, because you can get the build up and the after of like, what is this feeling?
It would be amazing if it could be a payoff. Like, in every conversation, you're in the party before, you find a way to work it around to the fact that you don't think vomiting exists. And then when you, then when you do, it's like, oh my God, my eyes have been opened. This is astounding.
Can you believe Chuck was claiming he vomited earlier? That guy.
What is he, a Tex Avery cartoon? Come on.
Here's what I think you do. Because if it's something that's happening to you because you party a little bit too hard, and I get very nauseous when I drink, I know what it's like. I think if you know you're about to go somewhere where you're about to really party-arty, then you tuck a small key in between your gums and your cheek. And you put a little handcuff key in there. And then when you yarts, you let the key come out of the mouth and you get it and you hold it up and you say, oh, thank God, I've got to go. And you run out of the house.
Oh, that's good.
What they don't know is you've eaten a bunch of handkerchiefs earlier.
You just start
pulling them out and then say, ta-da.
You fish your cell phone out of your pocket and you say, you hold it to your ear and you go, Susan, I found it. I'm on my way. And
or you throw up an engagement ring and then immediately get down on one knee to whoever you're next
just
to.
Whoever's
closest.
Because they're going to say no because you're a big vomit boy.
But at least it looks like you staged an elaborate proposal and then you got shut down. So now you're going to get a little bit of pity, not for the vomiting, but probably also for the vomiting.
Okay. So you don't propose. Maybe you just get the ring and just like, oh, this is embarrassing. Okay. This was not supposed to go like this. I had a whole Bruno Mars song queued up and everything. Okay. This is embarrassing. Recently, my girlfriend was asked by her best friend to be her maid of honor at her upcoming wedding. She asked her by presenting my girlfriend with a bottle of wine that had a customized label printed on it that said, will you be my maid of honor? My girlfriend, of course, said yes, and life is good. However, my question is, should we drink the wine or are we supposed to leave the wine inside as some sort of artifact to commemorate this special occasion? Would it be even more rude not to drink it? And that's from Not Drunk Enough Yet in New Jersey.
My in-laws threw me and some of Rachel's friends from St. Louis who went to visit, they threw us a surprise baby shower there and somebody brought little It's a Boy lollies. And I was like, fuck yeah. I took one, unwrapped it, popped it right in my gob. Didn't even think twice. Didn't even think twice about how this will be a treasured little artifact. I just like, oh, cool. It's a blow pop.
Considering you co-host a podcast with a man who, at the age of 12, ate his own It's a Boy cigar from his birth. Cigar from his birth, then I think you're in fine company here.
It's a genetic trait of, I guess, just to define that trait, we're shitheads.
Just shitheads who love gum. Judging from your tone and your username, it sounds like we're really talking about time frame here. Yeah. It does not sound, it's going to happen, right? Like, they're going to crack it open.
And the problem is, the longer you wait, the guiltier you'll feel. If you did it, like, the day you got it, like, oh, that's nice, pop, like, okay. But now, you're building up momentum of not having opened it yet. So the moment when you open it will have to be this, like, this is the moment, like, here, now.
And also, the longer you let it sit in there, the better it tastes.
Well, I'm going to bet that a lot of work went into the custom, sweet, awesome label. I doubt very much that they slapped that custom label on like a $300 bottle of wine.
Yeah, no. It seems to me that if you get someone a bottle of wine that deserves to be celebrated, you probably don't cover up the label. I've won quite a few murder mysteries at Ravenswood Castle with the Shadow Stalkers group out there. And when they commemorate the victory, they give you a bottle of wine. I have several of these. And every time they give it to you, they say, now don't drink this wine because it's terrible. It's like, oh, that's good. That's good to know.
It's technically cooking wine.
It's basically,
Do you like vinegar?
I think you drink it, though.
Yeah,
you do,
you gotta save the bottle. Maybe you could turn it into like a vase or put some like colored sand in there.
That's a good question though, Trav, because you are opening up yourself up to a second question of like, what do I do with this empty bottle with a label on it?
There's so many art projects you could do.
Yeah, man, you make a little sand art. You could turn it into like a fun puppet or something. You could turn it into an action figure for the kids. Just put a little ping pong ball on the top and you draw a cool face on it. And you just like tape a gun onto it or something like that. And it's like an army man.
Listen, if you're going to keep it as a souvenir regardless, I think what you got to ask yourself is what looks nicer. Like a full bottle of wine or an empty bottle of wine? I think you could probably sleep a bit easier knowing that you have a full bottle of wine in the house at all times. Like, don't tuck into it.
It's like your emergency bottle.
Yeah, exactly. It's better to know it's there and you don't have to use it.
Well, and also, unless they're into like glass blowing, they didn't make the bottle. Like the label is what matters. And you could like steam that shit off there.
Yeah, steam it off and make a little brooch out of it.
Or slap that in like a wedding scrapbook. Like,
Slap it in a scrapbook, make it into a necklace or something.
Do something fun with it.
Put it onto something you're never going to finish, like a bottle of vegetable oil. I've had the same one in my cupboard for like 5 years, never been tempted to drink it, not even once.
I got an old bottle of vinaigrette I could put that shit on, you know what I mean?
No problem.
Why didn't they just give you a big old can of vinegar? You just say, why would you do this to me? Why would you tempt me? With, you know, this is my favorite fluid, is wine. Why wouldn't you put it on a big box of baking soda and just stick it in my fridge for the rest of my life? Why wouldn't you just etch it into like a tombstone if you wanted it to be forever? Here's a tombstone. Will you be my bridesmaid? Thank you. This is not a threat. That's all etched on it. This is a tombstone. Will you be my bridesmaid? This is not a threat.
I love you so much.
I love you.
There are people living in untouched, like, rainforest villages that have not seen the slightest glimmer of what we consider to be modern civilization in their entire history, who I think I would have more in common with than a person who would take the time to create a beautiful gift to ask someone to be their maid of honor. I just want to take my hat off, because I don't know where you're finding the hours in the day. I would like a few of them, but that's a very thoughtful friend right there. I cannot fathom it.
How would you do it, Justin?
I just fucking ask, if I remember to ask. Like, if they show up and like, oh, fuck, you, will you be my maid of honor?
You're in charge now.
You're in charge now. I can't do this no more.
When I did it, I created a fancy label for different products that I knew the recipient would be so tempted by that they would have to tuck into them. So, Justin, what did I send you? I think it was a bag. I think it was like an unopened bag of Tastations.
Yeah, that
I
had like unopened bought, vintage I, bag of Tastations.
I bought on eBay, and I had sealed it with the label that said, you're my brother, and I love you, and will you please be involved in this special day? Please don't tear the label up to get to the Tastations event. And then I knew, on my wedding day, I made you show me the bag. And it was, you were like, what bag? What Tastations?
What bag? I ate the bag.
You sent me a can of Pizzalicious Pringles that you had actually just masking taped the lid down, but had written on the masking tape, will you be in my wedding party? Don't break this seal.
Don't open. Don't pop. Don't stop. Do stop. Don't pop.
And that's why I didn't show up at your wedding.
That's exactly right.
I felt so guilty because I popped and I didn't stop.
Travis didn't show up because he didn't even realize it was an invitation. That's how quickly he ripped into those bad boys.
I just consumed it like a cartoon character. I put the whole can in my mouth and then pulled an empty can back out.
For Evan, I just put the label over the over an Al Jarreau CD. All of you failed me.
A rare one.
Should we go to the money zone?
We're already there. Look around.
Away we go.
My Brother Me is supported in part by Casper, an online retailer of premium, obsessively engineered mattresses for a fraction of the price that you're going to pay in a store. Travis, you sleep on a Casper. How's it going?
It's going so good.
Because Casper sent us an email, like, who wants to try out a Casper? And Travis is like, me.
I do. I wanted a bed. I'm actually eyeballing it right now, waiting for the time when this stupid show is done so I can take a nap. And it's going to be so good. Like, listen, it's good for night sleeping, but it's so good for day sleeping. It's the best naptress I've ever had.
What's so good about it?
It's great. It's like a cloud. You know, I've slept on mattresses before that had like really uncomfortable springs in it and, you know, just couldn't seem to find a balance between like too soft and too firm. And it just all in all, like every mattress seemed like it was just trying too hard to win my favor. And Casper's not trying too hard. It just is. You know what I mean? It's just, it's so confident it's just in is, itself. Yeah. It's not trying to be what I want it to be. It's just being what it is.
What I like about Casper, and I'll say it because it's taking too long, it has a risk-free trial and return policy. You can sleep on it for 100 days. That's 100. And they give free delivery to the U.S. and Canada. And they have painless returns. You don't like it? You just send it right back. And all the mattresses are made in America, and that's what I really like about it. They're really great. How can people get their hands on one of these trisses?
Well, all they're going to want to do is go to casper.com/mybrother and use promo code mybrother, all one word, at checkout. Terms and conditions do apply. That, again, casper.com/mybrother and use promo code mybrother, all one word, at checkout.
And when you use that promo, you're going to get $50 off already wonderfully priced mattresses. It's only $500 for a twin-size mattress and only $950 for a king-size, which is a great deal. Yeah. So if you go to casper.com/mybrother and use the coupon code mybrother, you'll get $50 off these already well-priced mattresses. Go check it out.
Want to tell you about MeUndies. Just got a new batch in the mail yesterday. Ooh, yeah. Jungle print.
You got them jungle on. Print? I got them jungle print on my loins, too.
Yeah, I put them on. I was like, where'd my dick go? And I was like, no, just kidding. There it is. And it looks fantastic.
It changed my loins to lions.
MeUndies is so good. It's seriously the best. They're made of this tight micromodal fabric, which is sustainably sourced. It's twice as soft as cotton. It's indescribably comfortable. Once you try them on, you'll know why we call them the world's most comfortable underwear, why the world calls them that. And if you don't love your first pair, they're free. No questions asked. They won't be like, oh, really? Show them to me on your body now. How long have you worn? No, none of that. They won't send out the goon squad. They got dozens of styles, limited edition prints to help you make a statement with your loins, whether anyone can see them or not. But you'll know, and that's what's important. Shipping's free here in the U.S. and Canada. You can save up to $8 a pair with the MeUndies subscription plan. You can get either one of those for 20% off your first order if you go to MeUndies.com/mybrother. That's MeUndies.com/mybrother. 20% off your first order. MeUndies.com/mybrother.
I've got a message here for Chris from Cody. This is a personal Jumbotron message, which is what I'm calling Jumbotrons from now on because they're so cool. Yummy. After playing you the McRoy Family Fun Hour episode, I was a bit disappointed when you didn't seem too entertained. But on my birthday, when you made a special trip to pick us up a bag of Totino's Cheddar Blasted Pizza Rolls, I had to let the McRoy brothers and all the listeners know how much I love you and how lucky I am to be your husband. That's nice.
That's sweet.
I'm sorry that Chris was not immediately floored by our antics, but yeah, I'm glad our viral marketing wormed its way into his brain.
Yeah. Those flavor biases shits is no joke. How do they get so many flavors and so much of them on it? I can't tell.
I think it goes a little something like this.
I have another message here. This one's for Air Bear, and it's from Meglet, who says, oh, they want us to sing.
You can do this.
Okay. It's the Hamilton thing. Oh. I know my sister like I know my own mind. You will never find bigger Bim Bam fans than she and I. That was really good.
That was good. Can you do the whole thing? Or
if I tell her that I love him, she'd be recidedly resigned.
I meant the whole Jumbotron.
No, the whole Jumbotron, you dummy.
Oh, I thought you meant the rest of the song. I could do that. That was straight off the dome, by the way.
That was really good.
Not even looking
good
at the lyrics page.
I said, oh, Aaron, you are as beautiful and wise as CJ Craig. She would definitely be friends with you, IRL, as would Lin-Manuel Miranda.
Happiest birthday from your baby sister. May your zone be full of adventure in your 30th year.
We never received that much direction.
That's a lot of direction.
I felt a little hemmed in. I wasn't able to do my free form, my comedy.
A lot of handling going on there.
A lot of navigation.
Manhandling, I'd say.
A lot of Dan handling.
A lot of flan handling. Is this what we're doing?
I'm Allegra Ringo.
And I'm Renee Colbert, and we host a podcast called Can I Pet Your Dog?
Renee, can I tell you about a dog I met this week?
I wish that you would. In turn, though, can I tell you about a dog hero?
May I tell you about a dog breed in a segment I like to call Mutt Minute?
Yeah, I would love that. Could we maybe talk about some dog tech?
Could we have some cool guests on, like Lin-Manuel Miranda, Nicole Byer, and Ann Wheaton?
I mean, yeah, absolutely.
I'm in.
You're on board. What do you say we do all of this and put it into a podcast?
Yeah, okay.
You think? All right. Should we call it, like, I don't know, Can I Pet Your Dog?
Sure.
All right. What do you say we put it on every Tuesday on Maximum Fun?
Or on iTunes. Sounds good to me.
Meeting's over.
Do you want a Yahoo?
Yeah.
Do you guys want to get political or nah?
Yeah.
So sent in by Zoe Kinski climbing that ladder or riding high. I think Zoe Kinski's riding high at this point. It's by Yahoo Answers user Gator who asks, is Mayor McCheese a Republican or a Democrat?
Ooh.
Mm-hmm.
No additional information. Elocuted or required? Or desired.
Well, let's look at his policies. I think that'll give us a clear indication. He's for flavor.
Loves it. Loves the shit.
But he's anti same-sex marriage.
Okay.
Okay. So, no, I think that's, I think he's definitely for flavor. I think just like, I don't think he's anti same-sex marriage, right? Because they're all fry guys, right?
What it really comes down to is he pro Grimace and bird person marriage?
Yeah. That's the new frontier. He loves flavor. Let's just really focus on
he's,
that.
He's very pro flavor. We can all agree
his
on
head
that.
Is a his head is a ham. Like let's not make fun here. His head's a fucking hamburger, and we know that,
right?
I think he's got to be tough on crime, right? Because I think if the Hamburglar ever tried to steal his head, which would kill him, like that's a crime he doesn't want to happen. So he's got to be tough on crime.
He's a living hamburger man who resides over a world based around the selling and consuming of hamburgers.
Well, I do want to get in here, Travis, and just correct you very quickly, in that he's not necessarily a hamburger man, but his head is a hamburger. He definitely
he's like
has
a centaur,
human body,
but a hamburger. Like, he's half hamburger, half man. He's a man-burger. But this man-burger is selling baby burgers to the public to consume.
So, is a man-burger, that means that a guy fucked a burger, and I'm going to go ahead and put Wimpy on blast here from Popeye. Definitely is Mayor McCheese's dad.
I'm just saying that with his, like, cannibalistic, like, lifestyle, I feel like we could
launch... I don't think he eats burgers, does
but he? But he, like, he wants those babies to be eaten. I feel like we could launch a very successful campaign against Mayor McCheese if we wanted a coup to replace Mayor McCheese as the mayor of Hamburger Town or whatever it's called, McDonaldland.
Speaking of McDonaldland, I wanted to take a quick break to look at the Wikipedia page for McDonaldland. And I want to tell you guys about the Wacky Adventures of Ronald McDonald. This is a videotape series released from 1998 to 2001. By Rugrats creators, Klasky Supo.
I know, I remember these tapes.
The series depicted Ronald, Grimace, Birdie, the Hamburglar, and here's where we start to lose the plot a little bit. A few new characters, like Ronald's pessimistic dog, Sunday.
Well, hold on.
Wait, what? Why would your dog... How could you live... Okay, you're a puppy named Sunday who lives in a place called McDonaldland, and you're pessimistic? How dare
know.
You?
Also,
Ronald.
Even real living dogs in the Earth realm, not in the Dark realm, where Hamburger Land
takes
place.
Not in the Upside Down.
Not in the Upside Down. Fucking real dogs are not pessimistic unless they used to be Kevin Spacey and they got transformed by magic and are having a hard time finding their way
pessimistic
home.
Pessimistic is not a characteristic that I've ever heard attributed to a dog.
Yeah, my dog's one of those real feeding dish half empty types of...
These videos would begin in live action in what resembled a futuristic McDonald land. The characters would enter a tube or other means of travel. They would become animated. Hey, Klasky Supo, I think you might be trying a little bit too hard. Seems like maybe the pre-production phase went on a little bit too long for this series. Maybe you should just chill out a little bit.
How much premise do you need for your animated series about McDonald's?
How much Grimace premise do you need?
I'm pretty sure people already bought into the McDonald's brand enough that you didn't have to say, hey, you guys, let's really sell them on this cartoon.
You guys realize there haven't been McDonaldland commercials since 2004? Isn't that weird? Doesn't it seem like they're still around?
No, dog.
I want to be the person who updated this article because the last section covers the last 11 years of history, and it says that they've been phased out. But the McDonaldland characters continue to appear in McDonald's play areas, decorative seats for children's birthday parties, and bibs. They'll only roll McDonald, Birdie, Grimace, and Hamburglar appear in them. They also appear in some soft drink cups until 2008. They do, however, still appear as cookies in pouches, respectfully titled McDonaldland cookies. As of today,
they're still burning through the same McDonaldland cookies that they made in 2002.
Guaranteed, absolutely. As of today, the characters appear on the windows of some McDonald's restaurants. Modern commercials nowadays usually depict Ronald McDonald alone in real world situations with real
children.
So
lonely, so all alone.
So alone,
cold.
Exiled from his land. Whether he visits a local restaurant or goes to visit sick children at a Ronald McDonald house. So, I want to be the person who's like, oh, whoa, 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 park, 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 pull over, check that window. That's a grimace. I'm putting this on Wikipedia.
Yeah, we found him.
We found him. That's another soft spotting.
Is Mayor McCheese, is his first name Mayor? Does he actually have the title of Mayor, or is his name
I'm looking, I've been doing some deep web Googling, and character description, Mayor of McDonaldland, the cheesiest burger in town. Is that how he got elected? Was there no, like, proper vote? There's, like, who's the cheesiest burger? Is this Edwin sounding motherfucker? According to the same wiki that Justin and I are now the only two active users on in the whole internet, he's portrayed as a giggly, bumbling, and somewhat incompetent mayor.
Well,
based on H.R. Puffin stuff, the character was dropped during the streamlining of characters in the mid-80s. He did die, I guess.
He died.
I guess he did die. I have a hard time picking out his affiliation here, but I feel like libertarian.
That would be my, yeah, that would be my thinking.
I'm actually looking here. It says Bull Moose Party.
I'm basing that on almost nothing, but I imagine like people would come to him and be like, Mayor McCheese, what are the laws? It's fucking chaos out here. Nobody's telling anybody what to do. And he's like, yup, exactly. And he like picks off one of his own sesame seeds and eats it.
No gods, no kings, only food.
No, says the man in Burger King.
Does the sweat of my pickle belong to the bourgeoisie?
Is the grease of my own bun not a time?
No, says Dave Thomas.
No, says John Silver.
No, says the man behind Captain D's, whose name I don't know.
Probably starts with a D.
Probably
starts with a D, and he's probably a captain.
It seems your cup of Sprite has gone empty. You can refill it at the fountainhead.
Welcome to my play place.
Stupid.
This is a dumb fucking podcast.
It's a dumb podcast. Hey, brothers. I have a query which I could use a little help with. My boyfriend and I have been going out for almost a year now and are talking about moving in together. One problem, he lives out of his car, which has been cool. Which is, I just think what his head sounds like. Because if you think about it, he's had a one hamburger. Anyway.
It's got to be bad.
Oh, you're talking about the Mayor McCheese.
Mayor McCheese. One problem. Okay. Let me start.
Not this man who lives in. I thought you were saying this person who lives in his car.
No, Mayor McCheese's head has got to be rough by now.
I've been dating Mayor McCheese for about a year now. Well,
he lives out of his car. He hasn't had much work lately. Hey, brothers, I have a query which I could use a little help with. My boyfriend and I have been going on for almost a year now and are talking about moving in together. One problem, he lives out of his car, which has been cool. I have my own place too. But the closer my lease is to ending, the more I notice when we talk about living together, the conversation sometimes ends up being about which van would be easiest for two people to live in. While I'm all for reducing my environmental impact,
It's a van. Sorry, go ahead, but it is a van.
It is a van.
My house is cool because it doesn't consume gasoline to go.
I was kind of hoping to live somewhere with a toilet. So how do I tell him we're not living in a car without squashing his sense of freedom? That's from Cramped in California. So this is going to be a real tough one because I don't want to.
Yeah.
I don't want to harsh anybody's mellow. I don't want if this is his lifestyle and he's like into it. I don't get personally,
but there's some room here to discuss because the thing is like compromise and like a little bit of giving 60-40 as Justin has talked about before is very important here because I feel like there is a middle ground between living in a car and living in like a 3-bedroom, 2-bathroom. Like,
do you know what that ground's called?
It's tiny house.
Tiny home movement.
I'm saying you could do tiny house that has a bathroom, has a toilet, has a tiny kitchen, like feels like a tiny, it's not for me, God knows, but like this but might, or like a studio apartment even where it's like,
oh no, even better. There's a new HGTV show, because of course there's an HGTV show about literally any kind of container in which you can store yourself and your things and your loved ones. And there's one about houses that are also boats, and I think it's called Boat Home.
Yeah, you could be on Boat Home.
You could be on Boat Home in a boat home, dude.
Boat Home, well, Alabama.
What if you tell him you want to do a tiny home, and he decides to be a smartass, and you just come up one day, and he's just taking the wheels off? Like, there, mission accomplished. We live in a tiny home.
No, because there are certain things that make a home, and it's love and a bathroom.
Me and my significant other, we celebrate the big car movement. It's better than a small car to live in, but Jesus, not much. Boat home. boat home. How great would it be to be in a boat home? You're just like in the docks in Baltimore. You're just like, I'm done with Baltimore. Unhook. Bye.
Well, but there's the other side of that where you wake up in the morning like, oh shit, we forgot tie up. I miss Baltimore.
Hey guys, family meeting on the poop deck. We don't live in Baltimore anymore. Neptune has decided for us.
That's really good, because if you need a toilet, it's right there. It's called the ocean.
It's called the ocean. You just pop open the hole in the bottom of the boat. Oh no, our belongings.
Why do boats have toilets?
Yeah.
Think about it.
Yeah, I know. It's our pride, man. What would you, if you guys could have a boat home?
Mm-hmm. Okay.
What would it be? Because I wouldn't want it to just
yacht home. Are you kidding me?
Well, no, that's too. Let's set a reasonable budget.
Okay. Well, you didn't.
$150.
I would want to live on a super massive boat that's 100 miles long. No, Trav.
If I can't do pirate boat home,
no.
I'd like to go the other way then and do full, like, Big River Tom Sawyer, just like a raft home.
Oh, no roof, just right?
Just me, just out there with my friend Jim.
Just looking up at God's bounty.
Just looking up at the stars and probably really hungry because we don't have a refrigerator or any way to store food.
Or a toilet or anything, yeah. Could I just get an RV and attach some really good balloons to it and just float that shit?
Like Lazy Up?
Yeah. Just float that RV.
Up to open ocean?
Up to with fewer balloons because the first one stressed me out. I remember watching Up One just going like, oh, God, that's a lot of balloons. Are there going to be that many the whole time? Shit.
Wait, was the sheer number of balloons bothered you?
Do you remember watching Up and like when the house first opens up and you're like, oh, he's going to float the house on some balloons. But then there's like a million fucking balloons and you're just like, oh, man, that's way too many balloons to even look at.
I don't know what you mean.
Did you see the fucking movie?
Yeah.
Yeah.
A lot of people stopped watching it after that very sad intro that you had to pay your tears tax for. But then so a lot of people quit and they don't even know how many fucking balloons there were that popped out of that house. But there were so many and I looked at them and I tried to count all of them and I was like, this is a fool's errand.
Because there were too many
balloons. So many balloons, it just got me so anxious. You know what I'm talking about, right?
Yeah.
Balloons would start popping during that movie and like would fall out off the house and I'd be like, oh, thank God, more balloons that I don't have to worry about. But when they had the maximum number of balloons right there at like sort of like 25 minutes into the movie, I was like, fuck, that's way too many. Way too many balloons.
I don't want to live on a historic boat that we get some people coming by to like check it out. Because I get lonely.
What about a ferry that's in operation? So every day you just have thousands of visitors. Welcome to my ferry. Would you like to play a video game with me?
Oh, that's nice. We could play like some euchre, you know? Please, just like, it's so nice to have visitors.
Please take your shoes off on the ferry.
I would like to live on some kind of boat that no one believes that a human being should be living on.
Like what, Trav?
I don't know. Like maybe like one of those submarines that they use in Planet Earth to go down and look at like the stuff way, way down there. And it's just big enough for like 1.5 people and it's got tiny portholes. I would like for that to be it's like a tiny boat home movement. That's what I'm going for.
We're getting away from the point. Should this person live in their significant other's car?
No.
Whose van are they going to live in?
I mean, I really think tiny home's the way to go here. I watch them and I just think like that would be so great.
I mean, it's not ideal for me. I don't know that I could stand it, but like,
well, it's because you rip those cheesy blasters all the time, dog. You blow the doors off the motherfucker.
No, it's mostly that I would just be constantly like Harry and the Hendersons, like turning around and knocking stuff off of everything all the time. I do that now, and I live in like a full sized home. I can't imagine how much chaos I would wreak upon a tiny home, but it would not be good. I would be like Alice in Alice in Wonderland growing through with my arms and legs and head poking out the sides and top.
Yeah, I love it. And then you'd get your tummy cut open, your cake the whole time.
Exactly. Just
I
like
don't
Alice.
Like the tiny homes where they've built an extensive outdoor area. It's like, hi, can you go home? You're cheating. Can you not? That's my home. That's part of my extended home, which is all outdoors. We have to share that. You can't claim it.
I would like to have a tiny home that lives in the yard of my full-sized home. And it's just like my retreat home, just for me, when I want to feel like a giant.
Just the exact replica of your current home?
Exactly the same, but like much smaller.
What else would you have in your very tiny home, Travis?
Tiny tables, tiny chairs, some tiny utensils.
Maybe, but they're all tiny cups to different scales.
Yeah.
So the table is like for a mouse.
Mm-hmm.
But the chair is like for a dog. And it's like, well, this is just, come on.
I don't want it to make sense. I want it to be like a tiny fun house. You know what I mean? And maybe one of the floors slanted and it gets to feel like I'm in like a tiny mystery house.
That's fun.
Why aren't there tiny mystery houses?
Why aren't there more? Why don't I have a house with a secret passage in it? Why don't any houses have secret passages?
Well, yeah. Oh, you know what would be great? A secret passage between your regular size house and your tiny house, so that when guests like fall asleep, you just push them through the secret passage and they wake up in the tiny house and they're like, what happened?
That's good. I have a great fucking idea.
Okay.
You have to call the boyfriend's bluff.
Okay.
By saying, oh, you want to live in a bigger vehicle? I was thinking we would simplify. I want to live with you, my darling love, on a horse. On a horse's back. That will be our home. An even smaller thing. It's going to be it'll have a big saddle on it, and we'll have some saddle bags where we'll keep one plate and one can of beans.
That shall sustain us for the rest of our lives.
That
will
sustain us. That and our love on this, the back of a horse home. Have you seen the new HGTV show Horse Home? It's extremely short. Each episode's like 2 minutes. And Drew and Jonathan are just like, this seems like a good horse. Saddle up. And that's a home now.
That's a home.
Good. Have fun out there. Be safe. Do you want an umbrella or something? No? Okay. Just the one can of beans? Okay. What's the horse going to eat? The horse won't eat. Yeah, I guess so. I'm not a horseologist, but I think they would love some of those beans. But
folks, that's going to do it for us. We hope you have enjoyed yourself. Here on the My Brother, My podcast. We're sorry if some parts were dumb. We don't mean for it to be dumb. You know, we're just doing our best out here. We want to say thank you to, let's see, the MaximumFun.org network. We don't always give them top billing, but I want to take a moment to thank them for all they've done for us and for having us on their network. They've got a brand new show called Tights and Fights.
Hell yeah.
If you are a fan of wrestling at all, you're really going to enjoy this show. It includes as hosts, for starters, our dear friend, Hal, who is a very funny person and great to play Overwatch with. Highly recommended there. It also includes Mike Eagle and Danielle Radford. So you'll want to look for that wherever fine podcasts are sold. Tyson Fights is the name of that one. It's about wrestling.
We also want to let you know our Monikers game, I believe, is still going. How many more days do they have?
A handful.
A paltry handful.
By the time, there will not be another episode before it ends. There are literally 2 days left as you're listening to this. Do not sleep.
If you've been waiting till the last minute, this is the last minute. Go to McRoyCollection.com. Order that now because it's not going to be available once that pre-order is done. It's gone.
I really want to hit this hard. We have no plans to sell it as a product after this pre-order. The only people that are going to get it are people that pre-order it. I hope we've made it explicitly clear because I will shout down anybody who I won't shout down. But you don't wait until next week and then say like, oh, I should get. You cannot get it at that point. It's only pre-orders. It's the only way that we know how to make as many as we need.
A portion of all sales are going to go to Grow Huntington, which is an organization here in our home city that is fighting addiction with urban farming. They actually just got their land, and they are trying to get the money together to get this urban farm going for people who are in addiction recovery. It is a great, great effort, and we hope to be able to support them a lot. And every time you buy a copy of our game at MacroyCollection.com, you are helping to do that. You can find more info on that group, Grow Huntington. That's GROHuntington.org.
The expansion is only $10. Help support us. Help support Grow Huntington. And you know what? Get a fun game for you and your friends to play together. MacroyCollection.com. Do not wait. Go there now.
We wouldn't do this if the game sucked. It's a fucking great game we played all the time. Okay. I want to thank John Roderick and the Long Winters for the use of our theme song "Its Departure" off the album "Putting the Days to Bed." We plug Max Fun. We have other podcasts that we do both on and off Max Fun. You can find all of those at macroyshows.com. You can also find out how to like get in touch with us. I think Travis finally added my PO box info.
I did.
Speaking of other podcasts, I did want to give a quick plug for this is not a Max Fun show. My cousin Michael and my father-in-law Tommy just started a new podcast called Court Appointed. Michael's a lawyer. And the show is sort of about pop culture and how it intersects with the law, and you will learn things, but you're also going to have a lot of fun. There's a lot of dad jokes, and it's a very funny podcast, and I think you will very much enjoy it. They're on iTunes. Just search for Court Appointed. The response to it has been really, really good, and I think you really like it. If you ever listen to Sawbones or Schmanners, which are sort of that historical kind of comedy podcast, I think you'll dig this. It's sort of a legal take on that sort of structure. I think you'll dig it. It's called Court Appointed. Check it totally out.
I do a show with my friend Tybee called Interrobang. We are doing our first ever live show. Saturday the 13th is when the live show is. It's at the Three Clubs here in Los Angeles. Tickets are only $8 at the door. Come out. It's going to be a really great time. The show's at 7:30. So if you're in LA and you want to come out and either check out a new podcast or support a podcast you already like, the Three Clubs, 7:30, August 13th. Come see Interrobang live for the first time ever anywhere.
Do you guys want that final?
Yes,
I'm ready.
Here comes. Sent in by Level 9000, Yadru Drew, Drew Davenport. Thank you, Drew. It's by Yadru Answers user, JMoney36116. JMoney asks, what kind of apple juice comes in a small glass jar like the ones that were on the TV show Martin?
Justin McElroy.
I'm Travis McElroy.
I'm Griffin McElroy. I know what he's talking about. Those shits was on Boy Meets World, too. You look good. Beautiful gloves and refreshment.
This has been My Brother, Me Kiss Your Dad score on the lips.
MaximumFun.org.
Comedy and culture.
Artist owned.
Listener supported.
Attention, Europe. This fall, Maximum Fun is bringing a bunch of your favorite podcasters to London. Catch Judge John Hodgman, International Waters, and Bullseye all recording live episodes at the London Podcast Festival. We'll have fan meetups and we'll be joined on stage by a glittering array of celebrity guests. The London Podcast Festival runs September 22nd through 26th, and you can buy your tickets right now. Just go to MaximumFun.org.